Welcome, welcome on a warmer than expected, but a sort of a wet day, and the weather's supposed to get really cold this week, and it's not a weather report, but here's who's talking. I'm Franco. Habbo is to my far right, and in the middle is Darren Franta.
We are all in the house.
Hey, hey.
We are here.
And you're right. We did a little politics last week. Now we've become the Weather Channel. That's good.
Well, I think it's always good to talk about the weather.
Well,
people love talking about the weather.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody can do anything about it. Why not talk about it, though?
Well, besides, the weatherman gets paid whether they're right or wrong.
Well, it's December. It's Christmas time. People expect it. Maybe we should start a little chill in the air.
Let's start our own Weather Channel.
How about a little, by gosh, by golly.
Oh, yes.
It's time for mistletoe and holly.
There you go.
Look at
Habbo. Hey, hold on. That sounded like a Christmas well wish there. What happened?
Absolutely. You know, we're
when I came in here, you were Ebenezer Scrooge.
Well, once we go on the air, I'm happy boy.
All right, happy boy. All right. Well, happy boy. We got a big shoe tonight. A lot of fun. Earlier in the show, we will have Brian Davis, the Bill Dudley Scholarship Foundation president. This is his last term in office.
I think that's a position you once held.
Believe it or not, for years, they couldn't get rid of me.
Not that they didn't try.
They did try. Yes.
And they were successful.
There were numerous assassination attempts. And then later in the show, we have Big Ted Jeffries.
And I mean big.
I'll tell you.
How big?
Ted is big.
He's a big boy.
I tell you what, he never missed out on a rebound or a meal.
He was big when he played, and he's gotten even bigger in the subsequent years.
But more lovable than ever.
Oh, absolutely lovable. A teddy bear.
Yes, he is a teddy bear. All right, let's talk about the shoe. All right, basketball. UVA is creeping back up, number 13 in the AP poll after the mighty win against East Carolina. Let's see, over here in the USA Today poll, the Hoos are still holding fort at number 12, right behind Louisville. Creighton from Omaha somehow magically is 10th. And 10-0, they do have a couple of decent wins. But in a strange thing I noticed through some crack research, Creighton is number one in the Big East, located in Nebraska, ahead of Villanova, the number one team in the nation. So how could you be number one in your conference?
You've played a conference game.
Maybe so. There you go. That's a good treat.
That would be it.
Oh, Habbo. Look at Habbo showing his basketball knowledge there.
I don't think Creighton will finish ahead of Villanova. This is just an early season Habbo prediction.
Listen, those Nebraskans, they are pretty cocky. If they can't win the
Creighton,
football.
Creighton, the Blue Jays? What are the,
yes.
the Blue Jays of Creighton.
Boy, yes. You pulled that one out of the hat. Yes, you know,
known for their
Jesuits.
Their prowess on the diamond.
Yeah, well, the Jesuits, they were founded in the 1850s or something.
Is that where Brian O'Connor went to school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Might have.
Yes, so.
He might be a Blue Jay. Good job.
Yes.
Look at Habbo. Habbo pulling
all over this stuff tonight.
God, you'd think maybe you took a ginkgo biloba pill. All right.
I've taken a lot of pills in the last couple of weeks.
All right. Villanova number one, UCLA number two, Kansas three, Baylor four, Duke five.
Duke will get there. I mean, Duke.
They're on
not
TV more than Leave It to Beaver.
Well, they haven't had their full complement of players yet. You know, they're going to be pretty good when they get healthy and get everybody on the floor.
Then he's going to have a problem with minutes.
I'm sure.
And there'll be people bailing out left and right. Kentucky is six, UNC seven, Gonzaga.
UNC almost got beat last night by Tennessee.
Yes, they had to pull it out.
Your friend Rick Barnes, who's now the Tennessee head coach. Rick has coached virtually everywhere, but he likes those orange schools, you know. Clemson,
well, he was rumored to come to Virginia, remember, back in the day?
Well, he was basically hired, and the thing went haywire at the last minute because of some communication things with our friend Jim Copeland, now the late Jim Copeland Bayrate. Yeah, he was very close to being a Virginia coach.
And then there's Gonzaga at 10-0 is now eighth. Indiana is ninth, 8-1. Creighton, as we mentioned, is 10th. Louisville is 11. But I'm telling you, I don't care. Louisville is a bunch of disparate parts, and they shoot bricks. Now, the problem is they jump through the ceiling and get a lot of rebounds, and they stick them back.
And we'll have more about this later in advance of the game. We play them on the 28th.
Yes.
But you know, that's why Virginia, I think, is effective against Louisville, because Virginia is susceptible to teams that shoot to three. Louisville likes to throw it up on the glass and go get it, and that doesn't work very well against the Hoos.
Because so we rebound.
We rebound. And, you know, it's the old pack line defense.
Yes, we pack it in there. All right. Number 12 is West Virginia. We know they deserve to be there.
They're good.
They're pretty good. They've got depth. They've got skill. And
the key with West Virginia is they play a style of basketball that most teams in college don't play anymore. They play a 94-foot game, full-court pressure. They get after you, and most teams now just sit back in a half-court defense, so a lot of teams are not used to going up against pressure like West Virginia puts on you. So that gives them a big advantage, particularly teams that don't see them on a regular basis.
How about you? We got a problem. Due to a technicality and some crack research from Kyle, the engineer, it was discovered Creighton has not played a conference game yet. So how can Creighton still be in their conference ranked one and Villanova, the defending national champions and undefeated number one?
The way they do these standings, it's overall record or conference game, so maybe Creighton has played more games. Are they undefeated?
They're both 10-0. You're running out of options, Hobo.
Obviously, the media guy in the Big East went to Creighton. That's right.
All right. I haven't laughed that hard all day. All right. Wisconsin is 14th. Purdue is 15th. South Carolina, of all things, is 16. The Gamecocks, 17th. Xavier, the X-Men, are 17th. Butler at 18. And believe it or not, Butler is number three in the Big East of all things. And Xavier is fifth in the Big East. And somehow Xavier is number 17. Butler is number 18.
You know,
so something weird is going on in the Big East.
You know, there's a quiz that I could fail, even though I follow college sports. I would miss which teams are in which conferences anymore. It's really confusing anymore.
It's alphabet soup.
I mean, they change too often here. You know, I don't think I would have put Creighton in the Big East, to be honest
that
with you.
How could be a team in Nebraska be in the Big East? All right, Arizona with all their tall players and no guards. Whoever heard of a four bigs in the lineup at one time for Arizona? They're 8-2. St. Mary's is 20th. I don't know what St. Mary's that is. Don't shoot
me.
That's
the St. Mary's in the Big West. They're in the conference with Gonzaga.
Thank you. I just don't get to see them, so just off the radar. Notre Dame.
Your bedtime is 9 o'clock.
It is.
You don't watch those as a West Coast games.
No, and I'm reading my comic books. Mm. All right, Notre Dame is 21 at 9-1. Pretty good. We like the coach at Notre Dame. He's
Mike
one of my
Gray favorites. Mike Gray is a terrific guy.
He's a good guy.
He certainly, you know, could be in the discussion when Coach K hangs it up, depending on when that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Oregon is 22, and they were preseason picked by a number of services, including Sports Illustrated, to be a top four team at the end of the year. I don't think so, but they do have a couple of good players. Florida State, a team that I have been watching, and I've commented after Operation ACC Basketball that Florida State, to me, looked dangerous because they have a couple of really skilled guards, okay?
Right, Xavier, what's his name?
Xavier Rantham Mays.
Yeah, I think he was a freshman last year. He can play, he can shoot.
He's a senior. He's a senior.
And we'll see Florida State on New Year's Eve, December 31st at JPJ.
Listen, they got players. I did talk to Leonard Hamilton, and he always talks about 94 feet, 94 feet. Defense, 94 feet. So we will see. The Trojans of Southern Cal are still 9-0 of all things. They're number 24, and I think it's interesting that UCLA, which is snuck into this conversation at 10-0 and number 2 in the nation, is 10-0, and Southern Cal is 9-0. Something's got to give.
Something's going on in Los Angeles out there. The Hollywood. Well, as I said before we went on, I watched part of the Michigan-UCLA game on Saturday night. UCLA's good, and they're fun to watch. I mean, you know, you talk about a 94-foot game. They're running up and down the floor.
Is that where Alford is?
Yeah.
Well, Alford, Steve
and
Alford.
His son plays on the team, and his son's
tricky. There's something going on there, nepotism.
His son deserves to play. He's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. Cincinnati rounds out the top 25 at 7-2. Florida, Wichita State, Greg Marshall's Wichita State, VT, Maryland, Valpo, and TCU also got votes. At this point in time, Hobo, are you surprised by the top 25 and the order in the top 25, or is it just too early to tell?
Too early to tell.
Okay.
You're going over a lot of good teams there. You know, November and December sort of where you sort of figure out where your liabilities are and where your strengths are, and Virginia is going through that process right now. But
we have liabilities?
No low post game, you know. The loss of Austin Nichols, although I did hear, and I probably shouldn't say this on the air, I heard there's at least some consideration of him being reinstated next year if he behaves himself and is a good boy and seeks repentance. And,
yes.
You know, Tony is a Christian. Mm-hmm. He could offer forgiveness.
Second chance.
And somebody else told me that Nichols was having some difficulty with the academics at UVA.
I also heard something else interesting. I heard he's co-director or assistant director of a play down at Culbreth Theater at UVA. So maybe he wants to be a thespian or just a director like Clint Eastwood.
Well, he's got some free time this winter all of a sudden.
Oh, I bet his directing skills go through the roof.
No, I mean, you want the best for the young man, so hopefully one way or the other he can figure it out. But back to the Who's.
Absolutely.
You know, it's certainly, and I think you mentioned it earlier, we got big Ted Jeffries, the Virginia radio analyst, on in the second half hour, so we'll be asking Ted what are some of the adjustments that Virginia needs to make, given the fact that they have some skilled big people, but those skills don't necessarily include great offensive skills, not at least yet. I think Momedy has the potential to be a player on both ends.
Well, he could just run around and shoot from everywhere. He never met a long-distance shot he didn't like.
You know, the great Duke teams had Shane Battier and people like that, a four guy who made threes. So I think Momedy, if we could get a good low-post five guy, get Momedy out there to stretch that defense, open up the lane. So, I mean, there's some potential for him, given the fact he's a redshirt freshman.
Hey, this just in breaking news, Virginia, there's some football news. We learned last night or yesterday afternoon that Notre Dame offensive lineman John Mentelis, 6'4", 310 pounds, has decided to go to grad school at UVA. He has another year of eligibility and will be able to play this fall. Now, Mentelis was a four-star in high school, has not played much for the Fighting Irish, but early in his career he had a shoulder issue. Maybe he's finally gotten his shoulder rebuilt. He just fell behind in the pecking order. And right now, Wahoos need every offensive lineman they can get.
Need a little depth. What happened to the kid that we got from North Carolina last year? He didn't play at all, did he?
No.
Did he drop off the team?
Jared Cohen.
Yeah.
That young man, a big young man, was supposed to come in and play guard. And for whatever reason, he never came out for the team.
Hung up his cleats.
I think he parked the cleats.
Well, this transfer from Notre Dame High School, he was a starred offensive lineman, but I think at Notre Dame they had him listed on the defensive side of the ball. And
he played some
because
late.
Of slots that they had there,
right.
and the guys playing in front of him on the O-line. And so he's never able to get back to the O-line, which is what we will hopefully see him in the near future.
Mark my words, he'll be practicing with the offensive line. There's no depth. You've got to have people there to compete, to train, to practice, and ready to go. All right. That follows up on the good news from the week before where the 6'10" Swoboda, whoever heard of a 6'10" tackle, if he doesn't make it, he could be your low post answer in basketball.
Well, we might have to think about that. But the other thing, you make him a defensive end, you think he could knock down some passes,
well, that's
nothing
what,
else.
You may remember the name John Harris, spelled J-O-N, who was a early draft pick by your New England, Patriots. No, not the Patriots. Excuse me, Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles, the barking beagles, yes.
Remember?
And Max Vallis, I'm not sure how tall he was, but he had a wingspan out there.
He was like 6'8", I think, yeah.
Yeah, and he had a great wingspan and wrecked some havoc out there on the ends.
I can tell you, Vallis could have been a superstar. He may still end up there, but he needed at least another year of college. And, I liked the discussion we had in the last couple of weeks, and I can't remember which guest. It might have been Wally, may have been Bonner a few weeks ago, but he made the comment that he liked the baseball rule. If a young man commits to go to college.
I think that was Wally, since he dealt with a lot of professional, I think he was speaking from a basketball perspective.
Yes, well, this is what we're talking about.
That if you come, you have to stay for 3 years.
3 years, and I think that should apply to football.
Absolutely.
Football, baseball, basketball.
What is the football rule now? I thought they could leave after three years.
I think once they're 21, maybe.
Oh. Okay.
I'm not 100% certain of that.
Well, most of the Hokie freshmen are 21.
Yeah, well.
All right, that's my last shot at the Hokies.
No, it isn't. First off, we know that's a fib.
You know, they've had three years.
When are they on the basketball schedule?
They had 3 years of prep school already by the time they get to Blacksburg.
All right, we're going to head to break here in like 30 seconds. I'm going to let Kyle warm up some good music because he's got We've got great tunes stacked up like Jets at LaGuardia. Let's talk about our upcoming guests. We have Brian Davis coming up in the next segment. He's the current president of the Bill Dudley Scholarship Foundation. And we will announce live on the show before it is announced on the stage tonight at the Hilton who the two winners are that share the award this year.
And you talk about a hook for the audience. That was it right there.
Boy, you can't top that for breaking
Nobody's
news.
Nobody's turning the radio off now.
And after the bottom of the hour, we will have none other than Big Ted Jeffries to talk some serious hoops. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.